As was mentioned a few minutes ago, our text for this evening, or this morning, is found in Psalm 111, and reads as follows. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, today we begin a new year. The occasion of an old year giving way to a new one is celebrated by people throughout the world as a special time to think back and remember the good times of the past, and more importantly, to look forward to a future full of new and exciting possibilities. But if you and I look back over the year we just concluded, we will see some things that we definitely would not want to celebrate, for we would have to see our sins, of which we must be deeply ashamed. We've transgressed God's law in more ways than we can know. And yet, at the same time, we can still look back and acknowledge with thankful hearts God's wonderful works in our lives personally and throughout the world. Likewise, we know that His goodness will continue to be extended to us in this new year that we have just begun. Let us therefore, on this first day of 2023, take as our theme a quotation from verse 2 in our text, namely, "The works of the Lord are great." In the first place, we shall consider His wonderful works over our lives thus far. And secondly, His wonderful works in the new year that we start today. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of His word in your hearts and in your lives. When we think about our lives up to this point, oh, how many significant changes have taken place. The most significant change would have to be our deliverance from the slavery of sin and Satan in which we were born as unbelievers, and how we've been changed, how we've been made the believing children of God, adopted by His grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Considering how many great, wonderful blessings God's bestowed upon us, both physical and spiritual, it is most appropriate for us to join with the psalmist in our text for this morning in giving heartfelt expression of thanks and gratitude toward our gracious God. We read in the first verse, "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." So our praise, our worship of God, as we're told in this first verse, is to be with our whole heart, not half-heartedly, giving God only part of the praise, while reserving for ourselves a generous portion. It is also not appropriate and not pleasing to God if we only praise Him with our lips in the church service, while our hearts and minds are not at all engaged, but are wandering elsewhere. No, the true worship and praise of the Lord, the kind that He demands, the kind He most certainly deserves from us, must come from the heart, even when no words come out of our mouths. Our text for this morning does, however, direct us to consider how the true worship of our heart does come out through our mouth when we praise Him together with our fellow Christians in the church service, with those that the Holy Ghost has united together with us in the bonds of faith. Remember, our text says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. So then, even though the true worship of God is a very personal matter, a matter of the heart, yet it is not to be rendered only in private, but also with our fellow Christians in the congregation, as we are privileged to do together in our worship service this morning. The next verse of our text shows that those who are true Christians take to heart and appreciate the wonderful works of God. We read, "The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein." That His works are sought out means that they're searched by Christians in the sense of diligently studied or researched. And not only does this verse say that we Christians study the wonderful works of God, but that we have pleasure in them, which according to the Hebrew means that we desire them. We treasure His wonderful works. Indeed, Christians have pleasure in the great, wonderful works of God, for they recognize in them a manifestation of God's wisdom, power, and rich grace in Christ Jesus. Even though the works of the Lord surpass our limited understanding, we do understand, on the basis of His Word, that all God actively does, and even all that He simply allows to be done in the world around us, work together under His gracious and powerful, all-wise direction to serve the good of His believing children. Now, a human's works reveal the kind of person that he is. A person's works reveal the person's character. Jesus said, "Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." And so it is also with God. His magnificent works testify to His own magnificence. Notice here how our text links together God's works and His attributes. We read, "His work is honorable and glorious. His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." The Lord has made His wonderful works to be remembered. They are so memorable because they're so wonderful. Sadly, though, because of our flesh, we do not always remember His wonderful works as we should. So many of His wonderful works really should be obvious, even to the unbelievers, because they're visible all around us. Take, for instance, the marvels of God's creation. The Lord is the one who created you and me and all things. The earth, with all of its beautiful mountains and forests and lakes, all the animals, all the plants, the sun, the planets, and the stars, and so on. The entire universe was created by God. And not only did he create those things, but he, by his power, preserves them, upholding all things by the word of his power. Yes, he is the one who gave you life, and he is the one who keeps you alive. Looking back over our lives, we can see how God always kept his word in guarding and protecting us in every situation. For even when he allowed hardships, accidents, injuries, or sicknesses to befall us, he always held us by the hand and worked all those things together for our good. And all of this not because we deserve it, but because of his undeserved kindness, his grace in Christ Jesus, which the Lord Jesus earned for us by his perfect life and by his bitter suffering and death. God's love for us in Christ has kept us safe throughout our lives. Our text for this morning refers to this bountiful grace of God in Christ when it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." That's only on account of Christ's work of redemption. Otherwise, our sins would just condemn us, and we would suffer under his wrath. But for Christ's sake, all of our sins are forgiven. He atoned for all of our sins by his life and by his death on the cross. This is the reason why God treats us with so much kindness. This is the reason why we can look back over our entire lives and see the good and gracious works of God, more blessings than we can number. It is true, of course, that even the unbelievers, those who reject God's grace in Christ, are also benefited greatly from the merciful kindness of the Lord, who maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Indeed, the Lord most graciously provides daily bread, also to all the wicked. However, the next two verses of our text do not focus us on the general goodness of God to the unbelievers, but specifically upon the goodness that he shows to his believing children, those who follow him in faith. For we read, "He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen." The children of Israel, God's people in the Old Testament, knew from their history how the Lord had mightily delivered them from their slavery in Egypt, preserved them through their years of wandering in the wilderness, and gave them the heritage of the heathen nations that had been occupying the promised land of Canaan. And this same gracious Lord God is the one who has consistently delivered us countless times from all danger, preserved our bodies and souls throughout our time here on earth, and will finally lead us into the promised land of heaven for Jesus' sake when all our years here are done. Indeed, remembering how he has kept us in his love and grace during our lives thus far, we should also have the utmost confidence that he will continue this into the new year. Why? Because he's promised us in his holy word never to leave us nor forsake us. In the next two verses of our text, the works of the Lord are linked together with his word and with his attributes of faithfulness and justice. Thus, those works are themselves declared to be true and just. We read, "The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness." The reference here to God's hands is an obvious anthropomorphism that we humans can readily relate to because our works are done with our hands. But notice the close parallel expressions in these verses 7 and 8. The phrase verity and judgment corresponds to the phrase truth and uprightness. The Lord's works and His commands, according to our text, stand forever and ever. What a comfort this is for us to think about as we think about the future. His word and His works are as sure and faithful as He Himself is unchangeable and faithful. The Scriptures clearly state, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? So then, even though we know that various trials, hardships, temptations will come upon us in this new year, God has promised not to allow those temptations to be greater than the strength that He will also give us to overcome them. And we can trust that promise because He is faithful. He always keeps His word. Thus, this same point is made by the Apostle Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians, where we read, There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So we have no need to fear what awaits us in 2023 as we venture forth into the new year, since we know that the Lord will be faithful to all of His promises. The great love that God has for us is clearly seen in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel assures us of God's gracious dealings in every area of our lives for Christ's sake. As St. Paul writes to the Romans, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? The Lord's grace through the redemption of Christ Jesus is so bountifully bestowed upon His people. It was bestowed upon His people already in the Old Testament for Christ's sake, for the sake of the Messiah in whom they trusted. This was the gospel covenant of His grace that He had established with them. And our text for this morning refers to this very thing, where it says, He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverent is His name. That covenant of God's grace was the same in the Old Testament as it is in the New. It is the covenant of God's peace and forgiveness for Jesus' sake without any merit or worthiness on the part of sinful mankind. Those who reject the gospel, those who discard the work of Christ as a myth or a fairy tale, do not benefit from this covenant. They remain completely sinful and filthy in God's sight. And if they die in that condition, they will receive exactly what they deserve because of their sins, eternal pain and suffering in the fires of hell. That same sad end also awaits those who think of themselves as Christians and may be very regular in their church attendance, but who, instead of trusting in Christ, trust in their own works and merits to be saved, believing that they are justified, declared righteous, and forgiven before God on the basis of their great deeds and conduct. Such a belief destroys faith. This is what the Apostle Paul writes to the Galatians, where he says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. So may we never self-righteously deny our sinfulness or our need for Jesus. but ever humbly confess our sins and cling tightly to Him in faith, trusting only in Christ for our forgiveness. Though the unbelieving world around us mocks us, mocks our faith, regards us as fools, let us rejoice that through the working of the Holy Ghost, we have been given a great spiritual knowledge. Our text refers to this as a kind of wisdom, a wisdom of which the world is completely ignorant, the wisdom of salvation through faith in Jesus, also the knowledge of how to live our lives in a God-pleasing way, for the best interests of our neighbor and also for our own godly happiness in this life. Thus, our text for this morning concludes, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever." This wisdom is built up and strengthened in us by God's Holy Spirit through the continued use of His precious Word. Carrying this great wisdom forward with us into the new year, applying it consistently to our faith and life, will not necessarily guarantee that we will experience great earthly prosperity. But it does mean that we will have a most blessed new year. And God graciously grant that to all of us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.